Each morning when we look at the calendar, we discover a new day, just sitting there, waiting for us to do something with it. Some individuals approach it with enthusiasm and anticipation. They immediately begin to pencil in their plans for the day, social events, appointments, activities, and commitments, accounting for every second, minute, and hour of the day. You see, taking control of the calendar gives them a sense of being in charge. Accepting responsibility, they claim the authority to make things happen, deciding what the day's experience should be. They are certain that their determinations would make it a very good day. And of course, that is the intention, to make this day a good one. Now, many times when we use that word good to define the day, the expectation is that things will go our way, exactly as we had planned, fulfilling our personal wants and desires. We also allow ourselves the option of changing our minds, which is why we use a pencil to fill in the space on the calendar and not a ballpoint pen. Now, approaching the day in this way, we make some very interesting discoveries. For instance, simply writing on the calendar what we think would translate into a good day does not automatically allow it to take place. We notice that what we assign as the events of the day, they do not always transpire. And if they actually do come about, they do not always happen the way that we thought they would. So it seems that any power or authority that we thought we had did not allow us to control the calendar after all. Even though we seized the day did not mold or shape itself according to our specifications. And we wonder why. Well, the thing is this. Much of what we do as the day's events, as appointments, activities, and commitments, involves other people. We do not have control over other individuals. We do not manage their thoughts, their reactions, or their responses. Sometimes there is no meeting of the minds at all, and that day is neither fruitful nor productive. However, does that make it a bad day? This calls for a time of reflection. In recalling the events of times past, we remember that we characterize some experiences as the good old days, referring to others as the bad old days. Now, sometimes our desire to dwell on what has occurred in the past means that we are dissatisfied with life as we know it today. The feeling is that if we could just call up those good times, that perhaps we could relive them, allowing them to express as today's experience. Nevertheless, this we cannot do. Yesterday's practice belongs to yesterday. Now, there is actually nothing wrong with recalling the times of yesteryear. However, we should do so as a memory only, and not as something we would like to duplicate or forget. In recalling the unhappy times of yesteryear, few people have the desire to relive them. Therefore, the purpose of this recollection is to admit that something happened that was not pleasant, something that we did not like. However, we do admit, we survived to live another day. Each experience comes with a lesson. Whatever the lesson is, we should take the meat, the essence from it, and then leave that empty shell. Lesson learned means it is over, and we can now move on. We remember that our ability to name things allows us to assign certain traits and characteristics to experience. We should do so with wisdom and understanding. Whatever we do, we must do in ways that we can apply to today's lessons. After all, this is the only day that we have. We begin to look around us, and we notice that out here, we seem to have a world of physical form, with not only physical and material harmonies, but also with physical and material discords or inharmonies. We notice that the pendulum of life swings at times from periods of miserable existence to times of pleasurable existence. Now, this is simply the pattern that life uses as its method of expression. While it does apply to all of us, each of us makes it personal, responding in ways compatible with how we view it and what we have named it. Life unfolds for each one of us, and each of us determines how we will live it. Now, at some time and in some place in our experience, each one of us has stood in a place of darkness. It may have appeared as sin or disease. Perhaps it was a lack of supply or the absence of friends. The darkness may have been a feeling of inharmony, unhappiness, depression, or loneliness. At other times, we have all stood in a place of sunshine, a place of light, that time when things seemed to be going our way. We may have been in a state of contentment, growing and unfolding in knowledge of the finer qualities of life. While we do notice the difference between the place of darkness and the place of light and sunshine, we stop labeling them as either good or bad, and acknowledge that they each have their purpose and reason for being. When we release our act of judgment, we stand back and become the observer, allowing the experience to unfold in the necessary way. Let us remember, regardless of how we identify the events of times past, today is the only day that we really have. Which means that while each period of time has its reason for manifestation, we should give our focus and our attention to the lessons of today. The pendulum of life swings for each one of us, and it does so in a personal way and time appropriate for the individual. For instance, in our time of recollection, we remember that when we were experiencing our periods of the good old days, others were finding their days to be difficult and challenging. At the same time, when we were living our times of difficult experience, others were finding them to be very good days. As I say, pendulum of life swings in personal ways. The remedy to living by the swing of the pendulum is to be the well-balanced individual, that is, to live in the middle, so to speak. This attitude keeps us centered, freeing us from experiencing the extremes of possibility. When we find us standing in this place, the highs and the lows of experience do not touch us, they do not move us. Focused on the day at hand, we declare, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, if this is the day which the Lord made, then it is a good one. However, it will not be so for us unless we live it as God's day. Now, in order to live this day as God's day, we must have the realization that the place where we stand is holy ground. When we live our day from the awareness of holy ground, then we do not have to name it. God has already called his day good. Remembering it in this way requires an attitude adjustment on our part. You see, for a very long time, our desire was to be in charge, controlling what comes our way. Nevertheless, when we live this day as God's day, we realize that God is in charge, determining how he will fill his day without our help or our suggestions. And herein is the challenge. How do we transition from that individual who finds himself or herself standing in that place of either darkness or in that place of light to the one who is standing on holy ground? Well, we begin with the acknowledgement that God's day is a good day, and it is the only one that we have. This would be a good day to clean out our house, that is, to purge our consciousness of anything and everything that is not of God. Get rid of all those personal wants and desires until the only thing left is to know God. Release the feelings of fear, anxiety, and dread. They are no longer welcome in our house of consciousness. Consciousness stayed on God is too pure to invite, admit, or entertain the lesser condition. The lesser condition does not exist in lifted consciousness. When we purge our house of consciousness, let us also liberate ourselves from those outdated concepts that we held about God. There may have been a time when we accepted the idea that God is a punishing God, a God of vengeance. But Jesus told us that God is a God of love, and that this ideal may be spiritually realized. However, we must first erase the erroneous ideas in consciousness. All of this cleaning and purging of consciousness is done so that we may experience God. To experience God, we must be consciously aware that the Father and I are one. When we know that we stand on holy ground, and it is God's ground, then the realization is that there is no separation. There is no God somewhere up there in the sky, and poor little us down here fending for ourselves. If the ground on which we stand is holy, and we wish to have this place as our permanent place of habitation, then our consciousness must be fit to abide there. This would be a good day to give up the mental search for God. Now, I think that this was the method that many of us first used when we said we wanted to know God. We may have begun by reading about God and talking about God. We reasoned about God, consulting others to learn what they had to say. This may have satisfied our curiosity about God, However, it did not give us the experience of God. And let us remember, it is the experience of God that counts. Let us make sure there are no lingering searches remaining in our house of mental work. So to experience God, we follow the instructions given us by Jesus. He said that God is spirit and that his kingdom is not of this world. This would be a good day to stop looking for God in physical locations. The kingdom of heaven, it is a state of consciousness. Consciousness of the omnipresence of God. Spiritual realization of that which is within and at hand. Our founders say it to us this way. They tell us that heaven is a state of consciousness in which the ideal is spiritually realized. It is the full realization that I and my Father are one. Mental work is not high enough or deep enough to reveal this. Only the Christ within can show us the way. Now, as long as the human being has existence in this world, he or she will be concerned about their good in a material way. After all, there are what we call the essential things necessary to sustain us in a world of form and manifestation, such as food, shelter, clothing, housing, and transportation, to name but a few. To survive in a material way, we must somehow do what we refer to as make a living. And the challenge is how to do this. The concern is that we have enough supply to provide a way of life we consider worth living. Now, many times fear and anxiety are the motivating forces behind our work and our determination. Today would be a good day to give up our frantic efforts to make a living. Today would be a good day to give up those false teachings of human belief, the ones that brought us to the point of struggling and laboring for our supply. The thing is this. In living God's day, we live in a state of consciousness where the ideal is spiritually realized. And so we may ask the question, when it comes to our good, to our supply, what is the ideal to be spiritually realized? Well, since God is omnipresent, then what is of God is omnipresent. And it is good and very good. Did he not tell us, all that I have is thine? There is no limitation to all that God has. Therefore, it is available and at hand. It is forever pouring itself through us. However, keeping ourselves busy, working on our own, we never stop long enough for it to catch up with us and therefore to let other channels open up. This is a good day for a change in attitude, our attitude. Rather than rushing into life, filling in that calendar, let us resolve to rest into it, allowing the ideal to be spiritually realized as revelation from within. Now, of course, this does not mean that we should not have our occupations and our professions. However, in living God's day, we are about his business and not ours. Our real work is to do what God gives us to do, for the sake of doing it and doing it well, and not for the sake of merely making a living. We do the work God has given us, performing it for the sheer joy of doing His work. The moment we disassociate ourselves from the idea of having to earn a living, from any idea of us having to do anything on our own, at that moment we approach life in a new way. We do that which is given us to do, joyfully and cheerfully, to the best of our ability. We do this even at that moment. It is not what we particularly enjoy doing or even want to do. However, working in this way, life gradually lifts us out of where we are into other places to do His work. Remember, when we live God's day, being about His business, we find us where we are needed the most and not necessarily where we would have chosen to go. Our change in attitude is a surrender to God's plan, God's guidance, and direction. What God directs is good and very good. The lesson for today is that there are neither good days nor bad days. There is only God's day, and we are living it now. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within and listen to that still small voice. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. Be still and know that I am God. I have come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundant. It is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All that I have is thine. The receptive soul rejoices. In this moment of communion, there is no separation. The Father and I are one. Eternal life cannot be broken. I am forever the only begotten child of God. When I consciously know myself in that way, I give no thought to my life, to what I should eat or drink, or what I should put on. The one who has his being in Christ listens with the inner ear and discerns with the eye divine. A mind stayed on thee is not disturbed or distracted by outside things. With the soul in charge, we no longer go outside us for anything. God has prepared an infinite storehouse of blessings for us. Turn within and claim it. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge Him, so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen. Peace and have a blessed week.